You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, May 28th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, or listening by podcast on Spotify or elsewhere, thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. If you were running for Congress, or if you were running for a seat in the legislature, and you won, and you've already been in office for almost half a year, don't you think by now you'd have a plan for what it is that you want to do? Because we know that in Washington, there's still no federal budget. The House passed something last week, but who knows how long it's going to take for the Senate and how long that's going to take. But here's the thing. Over in Madison, there's still no bill from Republicans who control the legislature. We got Governor Tony Evers' bill, and then they promptly stripped a whole bunch of stuff out of it, but we don't know what they're putting back in still. We'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor, during the show today about how there are all kinds of bills out there. I think Senate Bill 280 is the number they're up to right now. But Senate Bill 1 is still a blank piece of paper because we're still waiting for Republicans to tell us what is it you actually want to do, not what you're against, what you're for. Also coming up, not that it's anything new for a congressman like Tom Tiffany, who tried to get a court to throw out the will of Wisconsin voters in 2020, but Tom Tiffany continues to embrace authoritarian tactics, like threatening a governor with investigations or even arrest. We'll hear the latest comments from Tom Tiffany. Let's see, what else do we have happening here? Earl Ingram will be in to talk about last week's remarks by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr., claiming that a team was on the ground in Milwaukee to help with a lead paint crisis in schools and lead water pipes, and that was a big fat lie. James Kelly will have a story out of Hayward reminding us that when schools go on summer break, some kids lose out on the one good meal they might get that day. And we will see if there's any update on Melissa Kay's pigeon quest for a new pet. Parker Olson is here as well in Madison. Greg Bach joins us from Radio Park for what, I don't get to use this word very often, what is the penultimate show of Pat Kreitlow and Greg Bach at 6 o'clock in the morning before Parker takes the helm full-time. I believe that's starting Monday. That was the last memo I saw anyway. And I'm off Friday, so for me and Greg, it's today and tomorrow. And then how does this work, Greg, when you're just working to like co-host the show with Greg? Does a limousine come pick you up like it does for me? Picks me up, takes me over to this side of the house, and then I get into the door there. Do you get that kind of treatment when you move up to just full-time co-host?
I get a 70-something Crown Victoria cop car picks me up. takes me to a different place. It's very odd every time. I always say, bring me to Radio Park. They're like, I'll take you where I'm going to take you. And it's usually like a park and ride somewhere in like Western Waukesha County.
Now you've got me reminiscing because one of my earliest cars was not a Crown Victoria, but it was a 1978 Mercury Cougar XR7. This thing was a battleship, but it was kind of in that Crown Victoria design.
Just when cars were long.
When cars were really long with rich Corinthian leather. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was used, obviously, and we didn't keep it for very long because it was burning oil like crazy.
Yeah.
But it was so comfortable. It was so nice. Parker, what was your first car? Do you have a beater at all?
Is it the one you're driving now?
Yeah, well, it could be.
You're muted.
Oh, wait, I gotta pop the control room on there. I'm sorry. There you go. Good morning, Parker. What was your first car?
It is the one I have right now that I bought off from my parents.
Okay.
Like, I don't remember the year. I think it's a 22 or 23. It's a Chevy Equinox.
Okay, a Chevy Equinox, that counts. Yeah, when I heard 2022, yeah. I'm like, come on, man, that's not a beater. But an Equinox came off the line as a beater, so it's okay. That works out well.
Dang.
For
you.
So I know now all the Chevy dealers are going to be mad at me. I'm sorry. Where was I going with this? Oh, I was talking about the limo picking us up before the Crown Victoria went over here. Yeah. Anyway, well, this is all to say that Greg, with my fingers crossed, becomes part of the, is it the pantheon of weekly guests like Melissa Kay coming up at 6:50 today? And that, you know.
Yeah, I believe so.
You'll come back and visit, won't
you? Yeah, I'll be visiting from time to time, but I'll also be helping behind the scenes as well in certain things. Well,
of course you
do. But Parker will be taking over, and as far as I know, I will be supervising tomorrow, but Parker's going to be running. I'll be here tomorrow, but Parker will be running the show tomorrow. So
wait a minute.
He'll be pressing all the buttons. I'll be here.
If you're moving up in the supervisory ranks, does this make you handsome and capable? Does Parker have to call you handsome and capable the way you refer to Luke Mathers all the time?
No.
He said his voice getting really high. No. That'd be funny.
He can call me the ever tired and cranky, but handsome and capable, that's a title saved only for Mr. That's Luke Mathers.
A level of sucking up that only you do.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, that's my game.
Okay. All right.
Get your own compliments.
Parker will find his own way to compliment you. Exactly. All right. Sounds good. If you'd like to suggest how we can go about doing this, you can reach the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call us, text us, or send us a voice note through the Civic Media app. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can put something in the comment section. Maybe you could put in the comment section how we can fix our video feed here, because I've suddenly somehow lost the control to remove audio only feeds. That's why for folks watching on social media, there's like this big black square, you know, right now on the screen. So I don't know. I like to think I stay on top of technology, but every so often technology wins.
But this just happened. This didn't happen.
It just happened today.
Yeah, yesterday this wasn't like this.
And I cannot find the setting where if it's audio only, you take that black box off the screen. So anyway. We now have a mystery black box. Trivia question for you. Based on today's Up North News daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Today, there's a couple of notes in there about hamburgers. And, you know, who's got the best hamburgers in Wisconsin, but also who sells the most. And I will tell you the answer in Madison. They compared, the Nitty Gritty? Is it the Plaza Tavern? And Dottie Dumplings, Dowry. Dottie Dumplings, I'll spoiler alert, is at the top. But you have an idea of how many burgers they sell a year on average?
12.
No, a little more than that.
Right. So many.
About 100,000 burgers a year.
What's so great about them? I've never heard of this place.
Dottie Dumplings?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
more words.
It's a good local burger joint. And that's really what this is about. And this is nothing against your Culver's, your McDonald's, all your other chains, but this is about local burger joints.
Yeah.
And what's your own favorite? And I've said here many a time that, you know, I would go to a place like, the Corton House or, what's the other? There's some really good local burger joints, you know, just around here. And I know, Greg, I've asked you at least once if down in the Kenosha area, if there's a local place that you like to go for a burger.
I'm not a burger dude, so I'm not trying to think here. I'm sure there are great burger places, but there used to be a place in Milwaukee called Stacked. They had amazing burgers, and like that was the first time I ever had a stuffed burger, and they put a deep fried pickle on top of the bun, and their fries were like, even though I'm not a huge fan of like thinner shoestring fries, they would give you so many that it definitely did the job. So, and unfortunately they are no longer with us, they're gone, but that was definitely great. And Camino in Milwaukee is also a very good burger joint.
Okay. And I neglected to say Amber Inn in Eau Claire as well. It's just amazing burgers. Parker, you got one where you grew up or went to college or anything like that?
Daddy Dumplings was
Daddy Dumplings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what's so great about it? Tell Greg.
It's been so long, but I remember it well.
Wait.
They're good. Hold They're on, just good stuff.
Let's just get some.
The memories of those burgers. Yes. So tasty. Yes.
My mouth is watering now, you guys.
See?
They get the juice in there. They're good.
Daddy Dumplings, we get the juice in them.
it's true. Roger writes from Stevens Point, the best hamburgers are homemade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. You've never been to my house. There used to be, so there's like, there in the southeastern Wisconsin, I don't know if you have them up there, but we have like a place called Kopps, Kopp. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was a place growing up called Murph's. I think they're still around in Waukesha, but they used to have like remember the old Whopper? Remember what the old Whopper used to look like? It was big. It looked like it just was gigantic. That's what Murph's was, but it was also heavy. Like, you're like, oh, wow, this has got heft. And also, they had the juices.
If it's big, it's going to have juice.
Yes.
The thing that I liked about, the places I mentioned in Eau Claire is the grill. I mean, that grill dates back, you know, they scrape it all the time. Don't get me wrong. They clean it. But, you know, when a grill is properly seasoned, I'm sure that I'm getting little bits of flavor that date back to when Benjamin Harrison was president. I mean, that bar has been around a long, long time.
And this burger tastes like the Industrial Revolution.
When a burger was a burger and it had the juices.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the juices, though. And I don't want to throw anybody else's parents under the bus, but I'll certainly speak for mine. They grew up in an era where there was all this focus on not on cooking your meat thoroughly.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I was an adult that I learned that hamburgers could be juicy, that steaks and pork chops did not have to basically be like the tongue of a boot that you had just put on, that you did not necessarily have to turn it into a hockey puck.
Do you know how my grandfather dealt with the potential of possibly eating dryer-esque foods?
How?
All of the grease he'd cook it in, he'd just pour it right back onto the food.
See?
Yeah.
That's how you get the juices and a cholesterol level of 314.
Yeah, they were made of different material, I swear to God. Like, he's, he was made of Dust Bowl remnants and, iron spikes. It's just, yeah. I'd watch him, and he'd have a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. You're like, this is where the flavor comes from, boy. Yeah, it's like...
That and the ashes that would flick off the cigarette and fall into it.
Parliament in the morning.
Oh, God. Salem. Well, what kind of burger you got there? Benson and Hedges, So
I'm eating light Virginia Slims.
Shiju says, sawing a steak like industrial metal. See, yeah, I'm not alone in all of this. Which reminds me that over on the Up North News website, Beyond Burgers, and specifically to Madison, we've put together a Madison food guide because we tried it as an experiment last year. It was so popular, we brought it back. So while we cover news from all over the state, we found a very welcoming audience for the food guide. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com there and check out our Madison food guide with a whole... There's nearly a dozen different articles in there about restaurants and burgers and fish fries and all kinds of categories. So anyway, when we come back, we will play the highlight that finished last night's Milwaukee Brewers game. You're going to want to hear it. Went pretty well in extra innings against the Boston Red Sox, and Tom Tiffany makes another threat against Governor Evers. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let me set up the 10th inning of the Milwaukee Brewers game against the Boston Red Sox. Actually, let me go back to the 9th inning here. where Boston was up 1-0, which, by the way, they shouldn't have been up 1-0, but Aaron Ashby was just throwing garbage last night. Anyway, Christian Yelich tied the game in the ninth inning with an opposite field double and later scored on a Sal Frelick base hit. And that took us to the 10th inning where, let's see, Joey Ortiz was the automatic base runner at second. And then Bryce Terang lined a base hit that moved Ortiz to third. And then Jackson Churio walked to load the bases. One out later, Christian Yelich was back up at the plate. The count was 1-1.
Fly ball!
I cannot believe that was actually, yes, the first ever walk-off home run for Christian Yelich, and it was a grand slam. That's a pretty good way to do that. And so what had been a 1-1 game, Brewers win 5-1 over the Red Sox last night. I had a friend who went there to the game last night. Are those not the happiest posts when something like that happens? And she was just like, oh, first Brewer game and I get a grand slam. So... good for them. Good for all those. I loved watching the crowd go wild because I was so long asleep by then. So that's always a nice thing to wake up to, you know?
I need to go to a baseball game. I've been saying that for months now. I miss it so much.
Here's the thing. You can do that right here. Brewers against Boston. Coverage starts at 11:35 on Civic Media stations. Your show runs with Jane 9 to 11, so this times out perfectly. Game's at, I think, 12:15, something like that. So there you go. You want me to write you a note?
Yes.
Do you think the note will work?
No, I want to get my butt to a game. That's what I want to do is I want to sit in the stands. I want to pay $38 for a okay beer. And
you're really selling it now,
and
buddy.
Someday I'll buy the helmet nachos.
I've never had the helmet nachos. You got to have the. I'm still a kid at heart. You got to have
Do
the helmet
have
ice cream sundae.
$30.
You know, if you're gonna go to a game, you're gonna go to the game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how it works.
Experience.
Adam writes on YouTube: these types of endings. That's what makes tuning in on a random Tuesday night game worth it.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's why I put it on in the background. Until I can't stay awake anymore. So anyway, so there you go. Brewers are playing again this afternoon, and you can catch that on several Civic Media stations here. All right, let's talk about Congressman Tom Tiffany. We've got some audio here of him being on Up Front on WISN TV, and Matt Smith asking him, as a member of the House Judiciary Committee, about this talk from the Trump administration that they would consider investigating or even arresting Governor Tony Evers. What dastardly crime did he commit, you ask? None. He provided a memo to state employees that says, hey, if there's an immigration raid at your workplace, call a lawyer, have a lawyer on site for legal advice. And for that, a Trump administration official put out a veiled threat to arrest. And now here's Tom Tiffany saying, yeah, maybe the Judiciary Committee will investigate him.
Yeah, we're certainly considering it in the Judiciary Committee. I know the Department of Justice is looking at this very closely because we brought it up with the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, and they are very concerned.
What type of repercussions could the Judiciary Committee or the DOJ, I guess, impose on the governor when it appears that he just advised state employees to call an attorney first?
Well, I would leave that to Tom Holman, the border czar. He has talked about this. I'm not sure what they can do, including the Department of Justice. But it's very clear he was stepping up to the line. Maybe he didn't break the law, but he was stepping up to the line.
Look, when the governor says when there's questions of law that come up, you should consult an attorney, I think that's good advice.
That was Tammy Baldwin also talking to Matt Smith on Upfront on WISN TV. And I mean, that is as classic Tom Tiffany, Trump intimidation as it gets. Well, he may not have broken the law, but he stepped up to the line. And that's it. If you step out of line, we will threaten to arrest you.
And what will you do if what will you do about that? I won't do anything. You got to talk to the other guy. The other guy will do something, possibly. I'll ask him. I don't know. I'm just
ask the Tiffany. Borders are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
but I can still put out the veiled threat that my committee is going to investigate you. You know, the same way that Ron Johnson has a committee threatening to investigate, you know, Joe Biden for daring to get cancer.
Oh, I thought he was investigating 9/11 again.
Well, oh yeah, there was that as well. Again, one distraction after the other. And so this is the latest one, again, from Tom Tiffany. And look, if you can't just say he didn't break the law, we don't like what he said, then I guess where you go with is you continue to make the veiled threats. And that's not something that we should be tolerating in this country. But it's, again, not a surprise from Tom Tiffany. This is somebody who, frankly, should have had the good sense to resign from Congress shortly after January 6th, when he signed on to a lawsuit out of Texas that, if successful, would have thrown out Wisconsin's election results from 2020. Just the presidential ones, not the same election that he got elected to Congress in, but just the one for the presidential race. And since that time, we called on him right away at Up North News to, you know, resign or be removed from office, because if you can't have that basic understanding of respecting the right of the voters and not simply going along with a plan to topple an election, you shouldn't be a congressional representative. But this is how Tom Tiffany operates, and why we wanted to share again his view of continuing Trump's intimidation tactic to try to squash as much dissent as possible, especially when it comes to their mass deportation policy. We'll continue here in just a bit. First, my thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. More from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It's 6:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Chippewa Falls across the Civic Media Radio Network. And for folks listening earlier, we were having a little issue with video on social media, which we managed to fix over the break. And so Shiju says, Pat is the next Tinkerbell, tinkering and solving stuff. Shiju, I don't think Tinkerbell is where I want to go with that. But thank you for saying that I tinker and solve stuff. That's me. I'm a tinkerer. I think really hard about these things.
Oh, my God.
Shiju also says it makes me, well, okay, is this thing on? Here we go. Shiju says it makes me appreciate Harvard for offering free government-related courses to teach people that someone like Tom Tiffany is incorrect. And I love that, hearing that Harvard is going to be offering more free online classes, that somebody is finally standing up to a bully and saying, bring it. Because President Trump yesterday was again talking about canceling all further, you know, federal contracts with Harvard. Keeping in mind, again, this isn't some kind of a giveaway, all right? This is research that the government isn't doing, but wants the answers to things like, you know, drug interactions and things like that, that they contract with these universities that have the research labs so that the government doesn't have to buy the equipment and everything else to get this done. When you end all of these studies like you do at the National Institute of Health and everything else, as well as colleges like Harvard and others, the research just stops. You don't find the answers to things. And what's more is that you've got Trump then saying, well, I'll probably give that money all to trade schools, you know, meaning technical colleges. Everybody knows what that is. You're exacerbating and trying a class divide. You're again trying to say, well, let's just pit all of blue collar America against white collar America and talk about those, you know, those people in their ivory towers in these universities and trashing the whole notion of education. When there is obviously a need for both. We need to support the trades in our tech colleges, as well as our liberal arts universities, as well as worker training and everything else. But to simply pit one against the other, to get them to ignore the way that you're giving breaks to billionaires to send all that blue-collar worker money up the ladder is just sad and repugnant. But that's exactly how it's operating, and that's the kind of thing I feel like we should be exposing on programs like this. So thank you, Shiju, for reminding me to say a few words about the Trump war on Harvard and on education in general. There is a note over on the Up North News social media pages about a bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature that would allow pharmacists to prescribe birth control pills and patches. The bill would, according to the author, Republican Joel Kitchens of Sturgeon Bay, allow women to have more choices in reproductive health care and decrease the number of unplanned pregnancies and abortions. Kitchen says it will save taxpayers' dollars and reduce generational poverty. Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Advocates says, "We support people being able to access birth control more readily. That's one of our big commitments. Health equity, being able to access care, is critical." And the bill was also supported by other medical groups as well, and again, has bipartisan support. Whether it will pass or not is another matter entirely. There have been plenty of bipartisan bills that don't pass. And I wanted to talk just a bit about that because, again, speaking as a former legislator and as somebody who's covered the legislature for years, these kind of bills come up in every session. They're what we call scope of practice legislation. And you might also call it the stay in your lane bill if you wanted to, depending on the topic. There are times when people are very turf driven, like that, you know, they want to protect their turf at all costs, even though it may be that somebody else could do their job or at least some of their job. And that's part of what this one is about, is saying, look, can pharmacists, listen to a customer and say, yes, birth control pills would be the right thing for you, and, you know, here they are. Or if this is the kind of thing that should come from a doctor. Now, one thing to keep in mind in this particular instance is that there is already a so-called mini pill, progestin only. It's available without a prescription. You don't even need a pharmacist for it. You can just buy it right over the counter. And it is designed to help prevent pregnancy when taken daily at the same time. And I cannot emphasize that enough, that this is one of those meds you have to stay on and you have to take it consistently. But some doctors will tell you, they can tell with their patients by doing a history and physical. And when they're doing that H&P and they're taking down, what this person's saying about themselves, it can sometimes be pretty clear that some folks are not good about staying on their meds, on their prescriptions. Certainly more than a few people haven't taken their birth control properly and required the services of an OBGYN. And so sometimes those doctors will catch something in that regard. They will catch other things where there could be drug interactions. And then beyond the doctors, let's talk about the pharmacists for a second. There's nothing against the pharmacists. They are hardworking. They are stretched thin. The ranks have been depleted. There is a labor shortage in all kinds of areas, pharmacists included. Along with everything else pharmacists are doing, I'm quite confident there are some pharmacists who are looking at this bill. Maybe a few are saying, yeah, we could do that. I'm sure there are also a few going, please don't give me something else to do. I don't need somebody, showing up at my window saying, give me birth control pills, when I'm sure I want this person to see their doctor first. So I'm not here to say that this bill is necessarily bad. I'm giving it as one example of many of these scope of practice bills where you really have to look at it carefully, look beyond, just the talking points at the beginning of the bill and say, is this really good policy? Is this, in fact, going to make people's lives more convenient and do so safely? Some bills like that are no-brainers, like, yep, absolutely, this person could be doing that job as well. Others take a little bit more thought. And so I saw that on the Up North News Facebook page. And while it does have bipartisan support, it doesn't mean it's going to pass. And I thought I'd share some of the concerns that go both ways on a bill like that. Another story we're following is from, I'm getting these details from Wisconsin Watch, but I've certainly seen it in other Wisconsin media as well. And this is out of Adams County, which is working to replace the treasurer who was rightfully elected, remove that treasurer, and replace the treasurer with the person the treasurer beat in the last election. Adams County has filed suit to ask a court to declare that their current treasurer, Kara Dolezal, vacated her position and that her former opponent, Kim Meinhardt, is, quote, entitled to hold that office. Basically, the court wants, or the county wants the court to sign off on a resolution that the Adams County Board approved in late April. But if you think that that resolution sounds ridiculous, well, A, you're right, and B, guess who else thinks it's ridiculous that these conservative board members did this? A state representative from that area, a Republican state representative from that area, Scott Krug, who argued during and after the county board meeting that the county was following an illegal process to remove an elected official. So Dolezal, a Republican, defeated Meinhardt, who ran as an independent by more than 900 votes last year, according to Wisconsin Watch. But now fast forward to this past April, to last month, Dolezal was also reelected to her post as the town treasurer for the town of Lincoln in Adams County. That's a position that she held prior to being elected to countywide office. In the county board resolution and in the lawsuit, Adams County is arguing that Dolezal vacated her county office by accepting a legally incompatible position with the town. But that's not something that is that unusual. Even Krug, the Republican Assembly rep, notes it's long been common in Wisconsin for people to hold similar offices for both the county and their local town. He says he's working with fellow legislators to introduce a bill that would clarify that it is possible for the same person to hold positions as county and town treasurer at the same time if both are elected positions. And that's the important thing to note. You're going to the voters and saying, hey, you know I'm doing this. Can I also do that? Krug told Wisconsin Watch, we are specifically going to say that there is no contradiction or incompatibility between the role of county treasurer and town treasurer when both are elected by people in their community. He says lawmakers are trying to do so without interfering with the court's process. Dolezal has continued to perform her duties as county treasurer after the county board's vote, even though Meinhardt took an oath of office for the position on May 12th. And so after these folks on the county board heard from a fellow Republican saying, this is not a problem, there's not a conflict here, the county board went ahead anyway and said, nope, we want to remove this person from office, the county treasurer. We want to replace her with the person that she defeated in the election and claim that there is a conflict that legally does not appear to exist. And so as much as they look like they want to win on the merits of their arguments, the arguments seem rather meritless, and there seems to be more at play here. And that's, again, always troubling when politicians, and yes, when you're elected to a county board, you're now a politician, when politicians try to interfere with election results that they don't agree with. You don't have to like that this person, your county treasurer, is also a town treasurer, but you do have to accept it, because there is nothing blatantly illegal about it at this point. And when that's the case, you know, you can give an oath of office to somebody else. You can file a lawsuit if you want, but there's no indications at this point that a court is going to go along with that. It seems like a lot of drama for very little reward. And yet this is what's happening in Adams County right now. The Wisconsin Supreme Court recently said that a Dane County judge who left court to try to arrest a hospitalized defendant is going to be suspended for a week. The court agreed with a judicial conduct review panel suspension recommendation for Ellen Burrs, finding that she deserved more than a reprimand because she behaved impulsively and showed a lack of restraint. The suspension will begin on June 26th. The justices in the suspension order noted that Ellen Burrs acknowledged the facts of the case and has accepted full responsibility. The Judicial Commission filed a misconduct complaint against Burrs, the Dane County judge, in October, accusing her of failing to promote public confidence and judicial impartiality, failing to treat people professionally, and failing to perform her duties without bias. According to the complaint, Burrs was presiding over an OWI case in December of 2021. The defendant didn't show up in court on the day the trial was set to begin. His attorney told Burrs the defendant had been admitted to a hospital. Burrs had a staff member investigate. The bailiff couldn't leave the courthouse to make the arrest, so Burrs said she would retrieve the defendant herself. She left the court and began driving to the emergency room, eventually turned around and did not make the arrest, but still faces now that one-week suspension. We will have today's history lesson coming up and Melissa Kay's Pigeon Quest after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nothing against Marvin Gaye, but Gladys Knight, who's got a birthday today, I'll take her version. I've heard it through the grapevine just fine. Thank you very much. Today's history lesson is brought to you by the number 81, because Gladys Knight of Atlanta, Georgia, is 81 years old today. And so is the next person we're going to hear from, and the next person, and somebody after that. By the way, the Pips of Gladys Knight, the Pips, made up of a brother and some cousins. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, class of 1996. Happy birthday to her. Melissa Kay is with us. She's not 81. She's a little bit younger, but she's on a scale of 1 to 81. On a scale of 1 to 80, she's an 81 to us. So
aww,
there you go.
Aww.
Mostly
you.
because she gives us all these great things to talk about. Like, how's the quest for a pigeon going, Melissa?
I've put in a new inquiry for bell pepper.
I love you so much.
Oh, all right.
the bird's name is Pep, and bell pepper, and seems very cute. My cage arrives on Friday, and then I'm going. And today I'm stopping by.
My cage arrives on Friday. Yep, we're locking up Melissa for the crime of wanting a pigeon. You know.
No, and then I'm stopping at a friend's house to get some wood that he saved for me, so I can build some pigeon perches.
Ah, the pigeon perches. Now the thing that everybody is really wondering about for the past 7 days here, do you have the pigeon pants yet?
Well, no, because I need to know what size my pigeon is so I can make the right size pigeon pants.
Pat, you can't buy pigeon pants if you don't know what size the pigeons are. You could have like really thick thighs.
I'm imagining this little tailor, you know, just putting that tape measure around those little tiny legs.
That's exactly what you have. It's not the legs, it's the body and the distance from the back of the neck to the base of the tail. And I'm going to make them myself.
Did you know all of this information before, like, say, 2 weeks ago? Or did you just...
I've been researching this for, like, the last 2 months.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Are these, like, suspenders? Like, can they go around over the top of the wings?
They go up over the top, yep.
Oh, dear. I love
so
this.
They're so cute.
I love this. We're just going to do a pigeon podcast based on this. All right, we'll come back to this. I got more birthdays to get to. Gladys Knight is 81 years old today. So is Billy Vera of Billy Vera and the Beaters.
Slow skate, everyone. Slow skate. I would
do at this moment. 81 years old, Billy Vera. Here's one more who was born this day in 1944, and that would be from CCR, John Fogerty. So this is the guy that wrote Proud Mary, and of course Tina Turner did a did a number with it as well. He's listed on Rolling Stone's list of 100 greatest songwriters. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course. Bad Moon Rising, Fortunate Son, Green River, Down on the Corner, Who'll Stop the Rain, Center Field. Pretty good career.
Yeah, you know, he's up and comer. Well,
yeah, yep, doing all right. So there you go. Gladys Knight, 81 today. Billy Vera, 81 today. John Fogerty, 81 today. Last and definitely least, Rudy Giuliani, born that same day, is 81 years old today. Yeah. So we are going to quickly move on. One more birthday.
Somewhere.
Kylie Minogue is 57 years old today.
This song just doesn't make you want to.
Yep.
Yep.
There you go, Greg.
That's right.
A little infectious here.
Oh, Parker, you don't even know the dance moves that happened.
Just wait.
Oh, yes.
So great.
Let's see. On this day in 1892 in San Francisco, John Muir founded the Sierra Club. Oh, look who shares a birthday with Rudy Giuliani. Little Marco Rubio is 54 years old today. Yep. Let's see if we can save this here. Colby Calais is 39. Or I'm sorry, she turns 40 years old today.
I love her.
Stop me on the corner. That's how you say her last name, Calais?
I believe so.
Okay, because I always called her Colby Calat.
No,
Calais. She was born in Malibu. Her father, Ken, was a co-producer on 3 Fleetwood Mac albums, Rumors, Tusk, and Mirage.
She was born in Malibu and her dad's name is Ken?
It's like the movie writes itself,
right?
Really, you know? Yep. Let's see, one more birthday. Kirk Gibson turns 68 today, a former L.A. Dodger. And baseball fans know that from Jack Buck's famous call when Kirk Gibson hit a 3-2 pitch off Dennis Eckersley for a walk-off 5-4 World Series win all those years ago when Jack Buck said, "I don't believe what I just saw." And that, of course, would be, again, Kirk Gibson on 2 bad legs limping around after hitting that home run. Let's see. National Day calendar today. I don't have – there's Save Your Tooth Month?
No.
No. No.
No.
If you're in first grade, please, yes. No. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a tooth fairy thing. This is National Brisket Day.
Ooh,
this is National Hamburger Day, which is why Christina put the story in the newsletter that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So today's International Day of Action on Women's Health. So take advantage of that. This is Senior Health and Fitness Day. And it is National or Worldwide Whooping Crane Day. But forget the whooping cranes. Let's get back to the pigeons here for a minute. So what's the next step here now?
Well, we listen to pigeons cooing. The cage for my pigeon, not me, will arrive on Friday. I'm super excited to get it set up and build the things. But it takes about 3 weeks to hear back from. But I did get an email back from
the pigeon rescue. How much of a background check do they need on you?
Did you have to put a little message on a pigeon's leg and send it off to get back? Is that how that works?
We sent away to WFHR to get all the latest and see if she'd be a good pigeon parent.
Well, they have over like almost 200 birds that are out there that need adoption, and there's just
think,
a backlog of getting people.
I think just want to make sure that you're not in this just for, like I said, for a good meal. Two more hours to go as we get rolling on another one of these Wednesday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the
national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.